Take the whole nation by storm, call us 9/11. Yes. Look into my eyes, realize how we ride. We ain't stopping now, player, this is how we ride. I be riding through the city with my fit low ride. With a pint of hand blowing on that sticky dream ride.
And we're live.
Is this going to be serious?
It probably, I don't know.
You're all right.
No, I got a couple things to talk about. One thing I didn't plan on talking about, but we're talking about billionaires before we hit record here. Elon Musk, quote, trillion dollar pay package has been approved.
75% approval, by the way. JP Morgan did not vote for it.
75% of the shareholders said yes, let's go forward. Yeah. Now, there's some sort of breakdown in there of how successful is the overall company versus how much compensation he gets. But in order to achieve the full $900 billion pay package over the next 10 years, he has to take the valuation of Tesla from $1.1 trillion to $8.5 trillion. So that's the expectation.
He's got to sell a million robots.
It is tied to performance.
I hope he's more serious about his sales ambitions with robots, these humanoids, than he was with his Tesla Cybertruck, because he kind of missed the mark on that one.
Yeah, so it is tied to performance. I'm not saying he won't make a lot of money either way, but
it's all going to be virtual wealth, but it's sickening that all of that is so congested into one person. You know, the potential of $1 trillion really should morally be illegal. It really should. I'm sorry. I'm not that big of a fan of capitalism to justify it.
Well, to your point, we know the Monopoly game's over. The billionaires won.
Well, we're still playing. We got a few more turns. But yeah, it's kind of like, okay, you want to rage quit?
If they don't want to start a new game of Monopoly or play a different game altogether, they probably need to reach into that stack of cash they have and throw the players some and be like, this is kind of fun. Let's keep it going. Here, y'all have a little bit of this, and we'll keep it going.
You know, Monopoly had two sets of rules. The one that we all know about, the capitalist rule, and then we had kind of like a different rule where if you landed on a property and didn't want it, it became a bidding war between the other players. This is to make it a little bit more equal instead of one person just, you know, with the most money slinging around da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. There was some other stipulation to it, too, but it was used as a teaching tool when it was a parlor game of what happens when capitalism is unregulated and what happens when democratic socialism is instituted into capitalism. That it was honestly a teaching tool. Parker Brothers stole it, made it into a household game, and got rid of the alternate rules, and it's what we know about it today. Brief history of Monopoly. I love the analogy we use. It's the best way to describe the economic situation we're in right now. Game that's been playing for generations, and we haven't even had a chance to land on Baltic Avenue.
Elon Musk, ladies and gentlemen, he does dominate the news cycle more than like Jeff Bezos. What's Jeff doing? Happily married now and just out of the spotlight.
Technically retired. Technically speaking.
Anyway, I don't have to hit stop, but I'm going to, and I'll hit record right again. I want to talk about healthcare.
Oh, boy.
That was kind of my subject.
Because I don't feel like we've, but I think you get our point on it.
Hold on.
Here, we have new information.
We do. These are at least semi-structured concepts. And I want to see what you think about it. Think I won't pop the gap till I give you 8 rounds. Make you feel like you won a lightweight boxing match. We headed for greatness. Your career's a skit with the nursery rhyme, puppy child, kibbles, and bits. I can smell that bullshit like bacon strips. And healthcare.
He's collecting his thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be good.
Going back to when the Affordable Care Act was signed, Obamacare, if you will, the reason the Democrats push at the time for a single payer plan did not work, generally, there were enough people that were happy with the care they were getting at the time and what it took to get access to that. And they didn't want to shake the apple cart, turn over the apple cart.
I've never heard that expression.
Shaking the apple cart.
Well, turning one over. I mean, well, goodness gracious. Look at all the. Can you imagine the mess you make? Especially if they were to roll downhill. Anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
To be clear, the phrase is turning over the apple cart. Right?
I've never heard of it before. You're telling me.
Anyway, it didn't fly, so they came up with this other thing, and that's what we've got. And now it's super in the spotlight because, well, the subsidies, they may expire. They're set to expire. We got a government shutdown that's partially hinging on that.
You saw the resolution today?
No.
They will continue if the subsidies last. Democrats are making a bet that they're going to win up into the next presidency with
okay.
this. But they've come forward in the Senate with a bill saying they'll keep funding the government if you give us one more year of subsidies.
Todd, who just lectured me on being political and wants to be anti-political with politics.
Well, I'm just saying, this is what happened in the news cycle, guys. It's not political. It's just a fact.
Oh.
Now the ball's in the Republicans' court because they can vote and end on that. Does it seem reasonable to you as a concerned citizen for health care?
Does what seem reasonable? You have to ask
the proposal.
Again. You'll have to tell me the proposal again.
Oh, they'll open up the government if they fund the subsidies for one more year.
Oh, yeah. I've known that since... I've known that was the argument for the last... 2-3 weeks.
Well, no. This is the first time they've introduced the bill. That's after the Tuesday's election results. They're making a bet that they're going to win straight up. But Republicans, if they acknowledge that bet, the Democrats, I don't know what they could do.
Democrats that aren't willing to pass the budget or bill or whatever the fuck it is keeping the government closed are not willing to do so because they know if we fund SNAP and shit now and get the FAA back going and your flights are in the air and everything's cool.
We do what we're supposed to do as a government.
Come January, we're losing the subsidies and we can't have that.
Yeah.
So they don't want that to happen. And with no concession from Republicans, we're at a stalemate, government shutdown. Okay. Do we need the subsidies? Well, we need health care that doesn't require subsidies because it's affordable enough.
But, okay, all right, but you're not going to make a hard left turn overnight. So what's the next logical step?
In the short term, we have to continue the subsidy.
So if you were a member of Congress, would you vote for the resolution that was presented today?
I would have to read the resolution.
Okay, just based on that point, that's the main sticking point. Fund the subsidies for one more year. Would you vote?
I would like to fund the subsidies for one more year, yes.
All right. That just seems legitimate to me. So I'm wondering how you're going to spend that. Well, yeah, that's the ultimate goal, but you got to get more people on your side, and that just takes election cycles.
It's a little too late to bring in the real fix now. Things are kind of staged and set. It just needs funded. Unfortunately, we're staring it down. We're going to have to fund it.
I
say we're going to have to, we don't have to,
kids,
but a lot of people
sometimes
are going
to. Sometimes there's nothing but bad options. And you have to take the best one that benefits you, even if it is a bad option as well.
Okay, before I move on to some of the things that could potentially fix health care, do you have anything else to say?
Well, light has been transferred through fiber optics, through the internet. Light. Actual light. That could really be groundbreaking in the future.
And analog audio has been transferred through the internet, through our underground, under floor of the ocean cable system.
But light.
Pretty much everybody knows.
You know what that opens the possibility for?
No.
We're about to find out.
Okay.
Cut the commercial.
I really am going to cut the commercial.
From Staunton City Pharmacies, the makers of Robitussin, which coats your throat and more, comes Tadinol.
Tadinol is the best thing that ever happened to me. It saved my life. I felt horrible for years and years and years. And then once I got Tadinol, it was like a light switch flipped and I was able to live again.
Labor doesn't always get paid. You wash your ass and you clean your dishes and you wash your truck. Those things aren't paid. You just do them.
I don't know what I would ever do without Tadinol. Tadinol really improved the quality of my life. I don't have any pain anymore. Tadinol is the best.
Pain hits fast, so get relief fast.
Tylenol fixed my plantar fasciitis. That's a hard one to say.
Healthcare. So yeah, I just have a couple ideas. Now, you got to understand, I'm someone that doesn't like to get in a small echo chamber, Democrat, Republican.
He doesn't like to be put in a box. He doesn't subscribe to anybody, and he's open to any ideas that seem rational to him.
I was going to explain, but then the air compressor kicked on, and then Todd basically explained for me, can you go swap that off? It's the bottom right breaker.
The fuck?
The very bottom, very right.
House.
Todd will be right back. He had to go do something.
Okay.
You were so much closer. That's the only thing. So, all right. Very bottom. Yeah.
Right.
Excellent work.
Thank you. It's a little dark. I had to use my flashlight.
As I've said before, you know, I like Bernie Sanders because he's an ideas guy. And some of his ideas I super dislike. And yet I still like him somehow. That's a talent that I guess a lot of people just can't do because they're triggered and they've been trained.
It's pride. It's all stupid pride, man.
Well, people are trained to be triggered by those echo chambers I was talking about. Here's what we believe. If you start hearing any of this other stuff, get mad.
It's that tribal mentality. It really goes back to our basic fucking...
And people have bought it into it so big time.
Well, it's instinctual. It's like, hey, you look like me. You live like me. You act like me. Oh, we somehow have more of a camaraderie than somebody who looks and acts completely different. Don't you agree?
Maybe it's that I'm not afraid to... be unpopular in any group, I guess, is the thing. And I'm not like boasting, like, hey, I'm the independent motherfucker. It's not like that. But I am one of those, like Nick Fuentes, who I've been told not to talk about.
Well, no, you can talk about him.
It's who would ride the ship, ride the ship all the way down, even if I'm sinking, like, yeah, I still
wouldn't compare you to Nick Fuentes. No, that's all.
Okay, that's settled.
Yeah. I think you're your own Nick Fuentes, but I don't mean that in a comparison way. I mean that more of like a persona way. Like, his persona is him. You can have something similar but unique to you.
We're rambling on. In summary, I like to take all the best ideas and put those on the negotiation table. Maybe it's Democrat versus Republican, but we've taken the actual good ideas that have a chance. And those are the ones we're talking about.
That's why I said in our three chambers of government, it's best work mixed. You need that kind of buffer, if you will.
And I shouldn't have so much pride that I can't accept someone else's idea or concept.
Yeah, that's like saying, I know everything there is to know about everything. So if I don't know it or don't agree with it, it's wrong. Like, no one would agree with that. No one with a rational sense.
A lot of people say, and there's a lot of truth to it, when you see the doctor... You need it to be their idea what the next treatment is. If you tell them you were thinking about it or read about it, they're like, wait a minute, this person's...
What are you paying them for if you're giving yourself your own diagnosis? Like, what the hell? Just look in the mirror. Your copay would be a lot less, I guarantee it.
Anyway, it's becoming more widely known. Some people are still insulated from this, but it's becoming more widely known that the entire... structure of the healthcare system. It's kind of shit.
It's not a structure. It's a system to make consumers be charged over and over and over again. If I could simplify it, your ordeal especially, but I'm sure you're definitely not alone. It was much, much worse. But it just seems like our healthcare system is meant to put you in the waiting room to get you that consultation. And then after that, it's going to be a bunch of charges and a bunch of offices and a bunch of specialists and a bunch of things that maybe help, maybe don't. And ultimately, what actually does help at the end of this long, mundane process is a huge-ass hospital bill.
Let me put I'm not going to go into all my various bills. Let me just say this. I have, quote, coverage through my employer, who is a massive healthcare company. And I went to the doctor the other day, and I had to pay $375. No injections, no labs, no procedures, just to talk to the doctor. My cost was $375 because it was a, quote, co-insurance. So rather than paying the copay, I'm paying a co-insurance, and I'm paying 60% of the bill. They're paying 40. What this tells me, the doctor charged $500-$600 to talk. Okay. To me, that's a problem. We'll maybe cover that in a different episode. Here's the way I want to look at some...
I guarantee we'll cover that in a different episode.
Here's how I want to look at some cost, right? I'm kind of a fan of single payer. Other countries have it. We're one of the...
Well, yeah, we're the outlier. No. We're the only one in the party of rich at this... Imagine, if you will, there's a giant ball of rich first world countries, and USA is one of the biggest, brightest in the room. And they start to talking and chatting with their friends in England and Scotland and Ireland. They are all talking about, like, hey, man, I love the single payer system. Love our healthcare. Look at our, you know, people are enjoying life here. And America's like, well, look at my bank account.
Yeah.
Look at all this cool stuff I have.
They were able to accomplish it. We haven't been. It's kind of embarrassing at this point.
Yeah, we can now. I'm not saying...
We have the resources. That's one of my underlying truths.
Yeah.
We have, in America, the resources so that everybody could have shelter, food, and health care. Or let's just call it the basics.
Those resources standard, yes.
exist. The technology exists. The money exists. Wealth. The wealth. Even if we have the wealth, we have the knowledge, we have the capability, but those resources are being held for the upper class in an increasing...
And rhetoric. It's all rhetoric. It depends on... It's like what you said before. People can't get past themselves, and it goes back to pride. They subscribe to the rhetoric that if you take care of the rich or those completely more successful than you, somehow the whole trickle-down economics thing will sprinkle onto them and generate wealth and power for themselves. But it hasn't, and it never has, and it never will. It's a lie from the oligarchs.
Oligarchs.
Yeah, sorry, oligarchs.
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 Yeah.
Oligarchs. Oxen free.
You know that tort reform thing? The South Carolina venue crisis that we covered?
Yes. That's been a minute, but yes.
Yeah. What was the big issue there? What's kind of the underlying issue there?
Of the whole situation?
Yeah, someone can leave a bar, have a wreck, kill someone, or cause some sort of damage. The bar can get sued for how much?
Unlimited.
We need caps on malpractice suits.
And we need caps on a lot of things when it comes to, malpractice suits. On this subject right now,
Because $100 million isn't going to bring someone back, neither is $10 million.
And if someone can earn $1 trillion, you can make up any arbitrary number. Do you know what a Googleplex is?
What he's saying is if you kill Elon Musk in a car wreck, what?
Oh, this guy.
And we'll put him riding in one of his cyber taxis, which is one of the stipulations in his pay package.
Well, it should be. If you're going
to... They have to have enough of those active... That arm of the business has to succeed.
Let's put it this way. Nothing says I show complete... belief in myself and my company than actually using your own products to the point to where it could cause fatality, and hopefully it doesn't.
So he's riding around in one, he gets hit, and he dies. What do you want to crash into that taxi? F-350 dually. So Elon's gone. He's only worth $500 billion right now. He's projected to be worth over $1 trillion. But there's that $500 billion deficit because he's gone and you swipe that value from him and his family. Do you owe $500 billion because of that?
To who?
How are you going to get it? But to his estate.
His estate. Like, that makes me think of a house. Like, who to who? The executor, I guess? Some dude in a suit that probably isn't even related to anybody in the house?
Point being, I think we need caps. It would bring down cost of malpractice insurance. Doctors wouldn't have that excuse anymore.
Well, I would look at it like this. If I owed that much money and the sheer perspective of how much money that actually is, no one would be able to pay that back except himself. So based on that theory, because ironically, out of all the hoarding of that wealth, no one's able to pay what they might legally justifiably owed him.
Maybe it would be justifiable, right?
Maybe it'd be legally justifiable.
But for the greater good.
Yeah.
Because he's got it pretty good already.
Yeah, but seems like
so
it.
So for the greater good, Can we cap it at $2 million?
No, no, no. Let's make it $2 trillion. Just a little bit. Let's keep playing Monopoly just a little bit longer, Rob. Please, just a couple more rounds. I've almost got all the railroads and you're so fucked. This is how I get off
the other thing,
Monopoly.
The other thing, you could spend the night at the hospital. You could get a bill for, let's go kind of low.
Worst Airbnb ever, by the way.
Let's go as low as we can go. $3,000. Might be $8,000. It might be $12,000.
I wouldn't be that dude on Price is Right. $1.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to negotiate $1. I'm going to sleep in the boiler room.
What if we didn't have a single payer, but we had rules that all the payers had to play by? And one of those rules is a hospital room for the night is the same price for everybody. You got tiers to it because you've got the ICU, you've got a, you know, the kind of the overnight watch rooms.
You it depends on what resources you need for your specific care.
Well, look, I don't know what the number needs to be,
But something that is anchored in reality.
Yeah, anchored in reality. That's the perfect way to put it. Maybe $2,000, maybe $1,500. And maybe you say, well, but we had to use diapers, we had to use saline, we had to... Okay, and the add-ons can't exceed that $1,500. So now the grand total max that you could get for that room for the night is $3,000. But it's the same price for everybody. It's the same price in the next town over. And I think if we had that structural framework in the places where the payment wasn't enough, that would kind of work itself out because the facilities would become pretty vocal about it. Like, hey, we have a standardized problem and this is the problem. And then they could plead that case and it would be pretty well accepted rather than just charging whatever the fuck they want.
Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
sorry, but they do.
Well, no, it's the same thing with politics, too. People complain, oh, politicians use a blank check on the taxpayer's dime. Well, hospitals do that with your insurance as well, and the insurance passes it on through premiums to you. So even if you do play by the rules, you're still getting fucked.
This is how messed up healthcare is. Mechanic that works here got his finger bit by a pit bull. He goes to the
Elon Musk's pit bull?
He goes to the closest hospital. They tell him, ooh, that you better go to the trauma center. You better go downtown. Okay. He goes downtown. He gets taken care of there. They, you know.
Patch him up.
Well, they took the end of his finger, but they cleaned it up, made a flap, sewed it up.
They fixed it.
They did the work.
Yeah.
When the bills come, the bigger bill came from the first ER that said, eh, we can't.
Punted him.
They punted him, and their bill was three times as much.
Yeah. Case in point. Also, services rendered have to reach a certain threshold before it reaches a certain numerical value. Like, if you just saw the majority of a waiting room at an ER, I feel like your bill shouldn't reflect as if you stayed overnight in the ER.
I think for simplicity's sake, now here's a little jump from where we were on our thought process here, but if I go up to the front desk at any provider, be a dermatologist, hey, I'm trying to get this one thing biopsied. How much is it going to cost? Ooh. They have to talk to their supervisor. They have to talk to the back office. They got to figure out how's it going to be coded. How's it going
to be? There's one nasty skin tag. No one wants to touch it.
You're, yeah.
Doctors are taking pictures of it, sharing it in a little group chat. Oh, my fucking God.
Hold on. Have you met your deductible? Have you met your max out of pocket? Oh, you have, but it's still not covered by your insurance because it's carved out because you didn't meet these certain requirements. Okay, all that shit.
We don't cover skin tags. We're mostly mole insurance.
That causes a lot of inefficiency, if you see what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, it makes the insurance provider seem more like the doctor, because if the doctor's hands are tied, literally or figuratively, they can't treat you.
I think a procedure or product should be analyzed, certified. You might as well consider it like a license to bill for that one thing. But they're categorized not by what they are, you know, cancer doctor versus dermatologist. Well, sometimes those cross over. Orthopedics versus cancer. Sometimes those cross over. Orthopedic oncology. But regardless, pediatrics versus geriatrics.
Urology, gynecology, archaeology, all of it's together. You get what I'm saying.
I'd like a tiered system. 20 tiers for a procedure. That biopsy is going to be somewhere on that. Okay, let's call it a tier 4. If the girl at the front desk knows damn well that it's a tier 4, she doesn't really need to know what the procedure is. She doesn't really need to know all the details. It's attached to the documentation, but it's a lot easier for her to determine your coverage because she's familiar with tier 4s. She can go work at a different specialist. She can go work at pediatrics or geriatrics or family medicine. She knows that if that thing is officially classified as a tier 4, no matter where she goes, she's pretty fucking familiar with that tier system. And she knows what they cost. You know why?
Why?
All tier 4s bill out at the same exact amount.
No! Those yep, sons of bitches!
That's the standardized framework I'm talking about.
And that is why the health system is fucked.
And...
Oh, there's more.
That goes back to what I was saying about the hospital rooms. If someone thinks, oh, well, what if we get a bad classification for this one type of thing that we're doing? Then everybody else across the whole country got that bad classification too, and they're going to look at that thing and pull it up to a tier 5 at that point. It's a collective argument. At some point, it's going to make sense for the reclassification. Does that track?
It does, but how do you imagine implementing those?
Well, why can't it be regulated?
Well, that's going to come down to a lot of bureaucracy.
If we can't have a single payer, we'll say, okay, we'll let you practice insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the game.
Do you think it has to start with states before it reaches a federal level?
Hey, you, insurance company, do you want to keep playing in this arena? If you do, here are the rules. Take them or leave them.
Do you think it should be federally or state regulated?
Federally. Here's the rules. Take them or leave them.
The only way I'd see an argument with state regulation over that would be cost of living adjustment.
I'm just trying to cut out all the damn smoke and mirrors.
Well,
I want everybody to pay the same price.
You know, I don't want a perfect world too, man. But you got to think of it this way. Any type of change, good or bad, no one ever gets 100% of what they want.
But it's got to be based in reality, like you said. And I'm going to go back to my classic example. One insurance company allows $156 as their max billable, max allowable for a cam walking boot. The next company, Cigna, allows $830. What type of negotiated rate is that?
I don't know.
Worst negotiators that ever fucking existed?
Yeah.
Only in healthcare does that happen.
Or when we talk about Israel.
You're getting the exact same product for 5-6 times the price. I'm trying really hard not to say 6-7. But, okay, for 5-6 times the price, same exact thing, only in healthcare. And the patients don't know. They're just part of the big collective group of, what are people going
consumers.
Through life? Consumers.
That's what makes...
They're oblivious.
That's what makes capitalism... That's what makes the gears turn. You got to have that... You got to have that stream of money. Money is the bloodstream for capitalism. If you want the system to work, that's got to flow.
And it's hard not to be oblivious now, because if you try to lock in and get all the information, you get different information. There's endless information. Your head kind of spins.
It's
you don't know who
internet.
To trust. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called the internet.
So a lot of people kind of check out. I can't really blame them. But this is a subject I know like just a little bit about. Whether I want to or not, because I work in it, and I see where some pitfalls are at. Okay, here's an idea that let's call it a super liberal presented to me. I'm not even going to claim this is my idea. And I got a rebuttal from a super Republican.
Okay,
let's not put
people into boxes here. Let's just say, because when you say super liberal or super Republican, those are like, wow, those are like gangsters.
It'll track when I tell you what the idea is.
Well, just, you got people that are liberal, people that are conservative, but I don't think you can paint. I think that's one big problem that we were talking about.
Well, they're not here to speak for themselves. I was going to at least tell you what their arguments were and maybe see if they track.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's like making a caricature,
If we can't possibly get single payer for all, could we extend Medicare to 60-year-olds?
50. We could extend Medicare to everybody like we do the military.
Yeah, well, we could, but let's pretend it's too big of a burden. Could we make one step in the right direction?
Considering our wealth and our political will, we can step in any direction we want. We're like the queen on the chessboard. But yet, when it comes to social progression, that rhetoric, the pride that we were talking about earlier, everyone moves like a king, one step at a time. Sometimes you misstep, so you have to go backwards, but it takes forever.
This person told me they'd like to see it at 55. If we're not going to have a single payer, can we at least make Medicare kick in at 55?
Why not 54 and a half then? Really, there is no reason. If you can do it for 55, why not do it for 45? And if you can do it for 45, why not go for 40? You know what I'm saying? And once you realize you can do it for everybody, you'd probably be, you know, in a moralistic view, why haven't we done this or at least tried before?
Are you ready for the super Republicans' answer?
What's that?
To the question you just asked, which is why can't we do it for 45 and 35?
Well, no. I'm just saying, like, hypothetical, but yeah.
They, I'm not going to assign them a gender. Although I do think I know what their gender... I think I know what their... Okay.
It doesn't fucking matter.
They said, whoa, can't do that. Couldn't make the Medicare age 60 because that would hurt the tax base. A lot of people that are 60 are working just to try to achieve 65 to get Medicare. And if they already have it, well, then they won't work. And then you and I are going to get taxed more.
No, we're not.
You know what I think?
We've been raising our road taxes for how long? I'm driving on the same goddamn asphalt for how long? I'm done hearing about that bullshit. Oh, your taxes will go up. Taxes are going to go up regardless. Question is, do you want your cut from it or not? Because someone's taking it, and I want as much as I can get back. So, yeah, give me my entitlements. I know health care ain't free. We paid for it. Now give it to us.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to stand on it.
Well,
okay,
I mean,
you do want to tax me more? Okay, good. That means you're taxing everybody more. And you know what that means?
That
means that
matter.
You're putting so much a strain
when
on them.
When taxes honestly gone down in our lifetime? Can we stop with the bullshit of like, oh, our taxes will go up? They're going to go up. They've always gone up. For God's sakes, when did they go down? I miss that. The only time they go down is when people richer than us are in power.
Well, second of all,
and it,
just because I didn't want to say first of all.
Yeah.
The government already has enough income. They have a spending problem.
No, they have an allocation problem.
Okay, well, then we need to appropriate.
Yeah.
Todd says maybe taxes need to go up because they're going to, and that's the golden rule.
Well, no. Here's the thought. If your taxes go up and it subsidizes something that costs you more privately, wouldn't that be a wise investment?
There is an allocation problem, and that's why a lot of people are pissed. Because in an economy that, let's be honest, for a person of average means is not that great, we're sending billions on billions on tens of billions on thirties of billions.
Trillions of billions.
A million, billion,
Google
fillions.
Billions.
Zillions.
1 million dollars.
Elsewhere. It's a better look if everything was just kind of peaches here, and it's not.
Don't return the peach basket. We've already lost.
To your point,
apples.
We're going to get taxed. You'd like to get something back from it, and I think that's fair.
Well, that's the point of taxation. It's not meant to oppress people. Remember, we fought England because we didn't want to be taxed without any sort of say-so in how and where that money goes. So we had the Revolutionary War, and guess what? Continental Congress put up representatives for us. That would tax us, that would go back to us so we could use to build wealth. Let's say roads again for that example. If roads and infrastructure were kept up with, people like you and me could get to work and spend money and enjoy our lives, enhancing the economy as well as enhancing ourselves through our work. It feeds one another. It all goes hand in hand. That's why I think millionaires and billionaires and trillionaires, depending on how many we have in the future, should be taxed. Because if it weren't for that infrastructure, if it weren't for those resources you and me use every day to create that productivity that they make their accumulative wealth from, they wouldn't have the accumulative wealth because we wouldn't be able to do it. At least not as efficient as we are today. Think about that. And the more rural states that always vote red need more infrastructure. And they ain't coming from Republican lawmakers. They haven't been. That's why our roads suck. But our taxes have always gone up. And now, apparently on the ballot here recently, we have another penny tax on the road.
Not every place can be as nice as Staunton. not everyone can do everything perfectly like we do in Stalton.
We did a great job with that landfill expansion, though. I am proud of that personally.
Here's the problem, if you will, that political parties have. All of them?
Both of them. Both of them. Let's be honest. Both. We're in America.
Okay. They got to capture the youth. Because right now, the 18, 19-year-olds are coming out and looking at what's my life going to be? How's it going to track? And what can I do for a career? How can I gain independence?
I don't think too many people are looking for that in their youth.
They don't want independence?
You'd be surprised how many people honestly do not drive now in their 20s.
But you're telling me they love their family so much, they're just warm and gushy around them.
That's not the two options. Either do something for myself or have someone else do it and use what I don't do as a convenient excuse. You'd be surprised how many people live lives like you and me and don't even have a beginner's permit.
But if they do want to put in the effort, then there's no reward.
Well, I mean, if they did. But no, seriously, you realize that? How many younger people than us do not drive, at all?
Never mind. The political parties don't have a problem. As long as they can capture the boomers, they're cool. They're good to go.
Well, the boomers are going to die out.
Todd's convinced
me. So that's only got a shelf life. I mean, it's just let me put it this way. Young people, they just don't, I don't know, there's no ambition. They bitch and complain, but that's all they do. How many of them do you think, honestly, have done anything?
Todd has a little skewed view because he's taken the boomers' side here. Because he works at a grocery store and he's worked at Chick-fil-A. He's managed Chick-fil-A.
Children for nearly 20 years, man. I know the youth and I've seen them evolve. You think they're more productive or less now? Honestly.
They're more productive through technology and through a structured corporate environment.
Then were they less productive? You're implying they're less productive somewhere else. Where?
No, I'm saying without those aids and tools, they could be less productive.
Yeah, physically.
But through technology.
Even just showing up. How about driving? Cars technology, especially electric. You'd be surprised what little ambition a young generation has now outside of those aids you talk about. And those aids are just a bubble.
How's an assistant manager at Chick-fil-A going to afford a car? And insurance, and a cell phone, and an apartment, or someplace to live, a mortgage.
The apartment's the ringer right there. Until the housing market gets subsidized, which would be the next logical step if you want to boost the economy. I'm not talking about interest rates. We're past that.
Let me say this. In 2008, we could have let it just fail and crash. But now we can't because the real estate investment trust are going to scoop them up and keep the prices maintaining. You know, that wasn't a thing back then, so we could have let the market be the market.
Well, I mean,
now if we let the market be the market,
how bad do you want to get through the times? People did that just to avoid a bad political career. And it's one of these things where it doesn't matter if it's justified or not. If people are going through hard times, they'll punish you politically for it, i.e. the current administration.
I'm not a fan of bailouts.
Well, no. The idea of it, no, because it's like a handout, right? Something you don't deserve that you're taking.
If a bank fails and it's federally insured, I'm in favor of bailing out their customers who would otherwise get hosed, but I want the bank itself to go under.
Well, here's the thing. When you federally insure it, that's what you're doing. Who do you think pays the bill? We do.
We have a housing affordability crisis. We agree on that.
Well, yeah, we've had one, but that's because of the way we handled COVID. We started off opening up half the country while the other half was squandered, and that's a big problem when you're talking about economics, obviously, because builders need materials, but they don't have materials coming in, so that's what fucked all the prices up.
Can one assistant manager date the other at Chick-fil-A within corporate rules? Do they have to tell everybody they're dating?
I don't know about corporate rules.
Okay.
It's different store by store.
They're in separate regions. They're probably cool then.
I don't think anybody's
ever... That could be crossing enemy lines too.
Well, I guess. Well, who's the enemy?
If one assistant manages Chick-fil-A and one assistant manages Burger King, and they're owned by a different franchise...
Well, see, that's just it. One's a franchisee, one's a private company.
How do they afford a house and two cars and a cable bill and a power bill and health insurance and health care when something comes up and all that? I mean, it's tough.
Well, I mean, yeah, but it's tougher now than what it has been. It's always been tough. Problems have always persisted. It's just now they've exacerbated by other problems that we've just kicked down the road and procrastinated.
Heaven forbid they want to have kids.
Well,
I mean, that's some added expense.
I don't know. That's another thing with younger generations. There's this whole crop of women coming up in their 30s that don't want a kid, that don't have a kid, that are more career-minded than home-minded.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's necessarily... I mean, it could be a symptom of the economic crisis, but also it just could be like a whole... You know, generational mentality.
Women are incredibly competitive amongst themselves.
No.
And the reason...
Hold on. I'm processing that. Continue.
Okay. So they're in there battling it out with their peers, right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's say they're still heterosexual. They're looking for a guy to date. Some of the qualities they want him to have would be a good player in the game that they are playing against their female competitors, because to them, that's what gives you strength, their own character that they're playing within that game. And so guys are like, well, I don't really fit into this, you know, and it's causing some problems there. I'm not even calling it a problem, actually. It's
what are we talking about? When did this turn into dating advice?
You brought it... Because you can't afford, even as a two-income household, you can't afford jack shit.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with dating.
So you're going to have two incomes and not be dating?
Well, I mean, roomies and shit. I mean, you know, imagine if like you and Hammy had an apartment. Something like that. I could see, you know, if you didn't have this, that'd be, wouldn't that be the next logical thing? I mean, of course you wouldn't be making any money.
What was the point you were making about dating?
I wasn't even talking about dating. I was just saying it's like, oh, well, there's a young generation just growing up. Like,
you said women are career-minded.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying it's not necessarily economical of why they're not having kids. You were drawing a correlation between, oh, modern-day economics sending children. Okay. God forbid if they have kids. Well, that's somewhat by choice, too, sociably.
In my mind, a big underlying factor of that is economics.
It could be a symptom of that to a degree, but they're more embracing of it, I guess, is what I should say. Like, there's no one who's young being like, oh, I wish I had a kid, but I just can't afford it. Darn. Like, no.
Yeah,
no.
There's people thinking that.
Let me put it this way. How many poor people have unexpected pregnancies?
Hold on.
And you're talking about that one minority who's like, God, we're trying, but damn it.
You're lucky. You're really lucky. I looked at birth rates this week.
Really? Did you look at miscarriage rates too?
So I'm going to show you a graph with my finger in the air. I'm going to draw it.
Okay, Mr.
And
Beck.
And since we're sitting across from each other, I'm going to go left to right as if you were looking at a computer screen.
Let me get the white dry erase board.
Okay. Poverty. Really poor people.
A lot of kids.
Hold on. Here's their birth rate. Okay, they start to make a little bit of money. Okay, we hit 250,000. Okay, sorry guys, you can't see the illustration, but
he's running out of air. This is a very long graph.
Todd's taking it all in. 300,000?
Yeah.
Okay, the richest of the rich have the highest birth rate, but the poorest of the poor are second highest.
Well, that's due to numbers and ratio.
So you're right.
Because there's more poor people. But here's the thing. Poor people aren't necessarily the well-versed with education and, like, you know, pregnancy prevention. And countries around the world reflect this. The poorer you are as a country, probably the more unintended pregnancies you're going to have. This is why we make efforts to Africa. It's not a foreign problem. It's a human thing. Rich people are too damn productive to fuck and have illegitimate children all the time.
With the state of America, they're showing commercials in Africa now. You could feed an American child.
You can sponsor Rob McKinney and his broken back for 25 cents a day. And Rob comes from there. Bullshit!
Feed a kid in America. That's what it's coming to.
Well, now that SNAP benefits are federally imposed now for the month of November, maybe those commercials can stop now.
For those that want an independent rabbit hole to go down, when it comes to birth rate, the groups that are not having the children, there are other groups who are willing to have them, religious groups.
Yeah, Handmaid's Tale situations. Another thing.
Okay, I wasn't going to say anything.
Well, I just did.
There's a thought process within some of the Muslim world that they need to have 8 kids, and they will, and they do.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they trying to beat the Mormons or the Catholics?
Well, you got to realize in America it hasn't really hit because it's.
You know how many kids in Greenville come from families of six or more?
No, I'm not sure.
You'd be surprised.
Many?
I bet. You know, what I thought too, actually. There's a subculture in Greenville, South Carolina. It's the same subculture that keeps the, you know, blue laws in effect and, you know, God and everyday Southern culture. Mm. These families believe in the whole fruits of your loins and all that shit. They're driving around in Dodge Sprinters. I'm talking like a Brady Bunch size family.
You're talking about private parts. You're talking about fruit of the loom. You said fruits of your loins?
Yeah, yeah. You know the biblical reference.
Yeah.
Yeah, this
fruit
is why
of the
these
loom
people,
and...
Yeah, well, this is why these people have so many kids. Same thing, from my understanding of, like, why Catholicism... I think Mormonism, they're just against birth control. I think that's the big issue. But Catholicism, it's... big deal to have a big family.
Bananas, grapes. Well, Catholicism,
you're
more
of a Haynes guy, actually.
They like to leave it in God's hands, don't use birth control type thing.
Yeah, yeah. In other words, hey.
And some of them have come off of that, but a traditionalist would, going as far back as within our frame of reference, a traditionalist would say, yeah, we're not about birth control.
The people that fund Bob Jones, that have their kids and families revolve around that bubble of social existence, yes. There have modern day like TLC families just without the camera crew.
In Vegas, yeah, the Dugars and their 17 or 19 kids or however many it wound up.
I haven't seen it reach double digits, but with the parents I have, if you count the parents, the family unit is 10.
When I lived in Vegas, I worked with a girl. Her name was Karen.
Okay, with a C or a K.
Her family was Mormon. She had 16 siblings.
Full or half?
She never kissed anyone until her wedding day when she married this dude.
According to her, that's a very careful statement, by the way, to say on your wedding day. I have never kissed anyone. Really? You've never had sex? I have never kissed anyone.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, you're right. We're drawing conclusions. Because...
Well, I mean, that's just a very specific statement. Like, Rob, I have never kissed anyone before this day. This is so special.
But you
haven't taken it up the ass.
Within, I went to NYU. Within, like, even Bob Jones' religious groups, the technical term, it's called technical virginity. I did not stick my penis in a vagina, but, you know, it might have gotten to the mouth a little bit, and there might have been hand jobs, and, yeah, it's a technical virgin.
It sounds like something a senator would go on record saying. Now, let's just straighten the facts out here. I never entered any vagina with my penis, and I have never kissed a woman before my wedding day. And there's no reason to read into why that's so goddamn specific.
We got off the rails on healthcare. Anyway.
Fuck it. I think we got it covered. I think everyone knows
that. We threw out some good ideas. At least admit that.
No. It's one of these things where, again...
If someone doesn't talk about it, it never changes. Because no one ever seems to have any ideas. I want the best ideas.
You're missing the bridge. One is the idea. Two is how do you implement it? Idea is only as good as well as it's executed. Same way as a law is enforced.
You implement it because, as I have been asserting, the pressure is building.
Yeah, but how? What does that mean? You're not going to have a civil war where people are killing themselves in the street.
You might.
How? How is that going to be orchestrated by either side? Are people going to leave, honestly, their families and do this? Are you going to do that? Are you going to fight?
If your door's getting kicked in, you might have to fight.
Well, see, that's just it. If you're already in that situation, it doesn't matter who's got the best answer or not. That's not the best way to implement it, Rob.
I know. And to avoid that, something needs to be implemented that works
so
in front of that.
So give us the implementation plan. I mean, this is how you solve the problem.
Well, that's one of the ideas that needs to be brought to the table.
No,
bring
I'm just saying step by step.
Bring
you
ideas
can have
that
the
are...
idea, but how do you change it? You can't do a hard left turn.
Bring ideas that are better than my ideas.
Well, no, the implementation of it. Again, you can have the technology, Mr. Musk, but unless everyone's using it, what's it matter?
Well, the pressure's building. That's what matters.
Then I think we should really look into the process of implementation, one of those ideas.
Yeah, before we drive off the cliff.
All right. So what do you want people to do?
We still have time. I just don't know how much time.
Well, what do you want people to do while we still have time?
talk about it without grifting, mm-hmm. without being beholden to special interest.
Well, what does that mean exactly? Like, do you want people to vote, or do you want people to protest? Do you want people to do both? Do you want people to riot? Do you want people to, what do you want? What do you want? Where do you see, what do you endorse people doing in order to get this frustration out in a way that would implement change?
Until the popular talking heads understand and feel.
Like the political elite, like what are talking heads? Who are they, rich? Rich people, the 1%?
Tucker Carlson are better.
Okay, so the correspondents, the political
analysts. He might be a top 5%er. He's probably not top 2.
He ain't hurting, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he's not hurting. Because he made the statement, it was about what you were talking about, fruits of the loin. He's like, I think that's the real measure of a population.
See, are case they still, in point, are he's they of still, that subculture.
Are they still growing? You know, because to him, if as long as you're having kids and you have faith and family.
Does it matter, though, what he thinks or anybody like that thinks, though?
Yep. Why? That implementation.
Well, he doesn't control politics.
If enough of them talk about it, it does.
Then the only thing they have to do is just not pay attention.
Anyway, he said he would take the family growth is more important to him than his own personal health care. And I'm like, okay, but
yeah,
you're...
They're scared because, and Charlie... They've always been a paranoid population. That's why, ironically, they fear death the most. But the Charlie Kirk assassination exacerbated this. They want strength in numbers. That song, Onward Christian Soldiers, a lot of Christians take that literally. And I'm not trying to be paranoid or anything like that, but this is what people, through my religious upbringing, some of them, and I called them fringe before in the past, but now I feel like they're more... centered after the, you know, recent events and things and the social climate of things.
I just think it's a privilege to make that statement he made. That's all I'm saying.
Really?
Yeah, because he's, like you say, he's not hurting. If he needs a surgery so bad and he's fucking miserable.
Yeah.
People get miserable to the point where they want to check out.
Yeah.
But there is a fix, but they just don't have access to it. He doesn't have to worry about that. He says, well, healthcare is not nearly as important.
Yeah. Well,
as expanding our...
We need to stop paying attention to people like that and start paying attention to people that actually listen or that know what's up.
I think there's some shift towards that.
Well, you know what? From here on out, Tucker Carlson doesn't exist to me because he's not of my reality, apparently.
Okay.
Nick Fuentes, to be determined. Yeah. We'll see. Well, I think it's fair to say Charlie Kirk isn't part of either one of our realities anymore.
No. What I like about Tucker is... I kind of like his guests sometimes, and he's at least a little...
Is he an interview type person? Like, you know, like Howard Stern's got his comedy.
He brings in the expert about this and the expert about that, and granted, they're handpicked.
Well, but it's a good interview?
Yeah, it's good interviews.
Okay, yeah, that's the same way I feel with Howard Stern. If he's got someone interesting on, he does a very good, thorough interview. And it's entertaining, too, because you'll hear stories or recollections you probably wouldn't hear much anywhere else. But as far as, like, political commentators and stuff... Tucker Carlson's appealing to a demographic that's aging out of existence. And the younger generation ain't buying it. And I think that caps off...
I tried
off.
To say that earlier, and you said that the younger generation is just comfortable living at home and doesn't really care about politics.
No, I'm not saying they don't. They're buying it, but what are they doing against it exactly?
Well, they need leadership and...
I know what they need, but what are they doing?
And with Charlie Kirk gone, it's becoming Nick Fuentes. Right now, this week.
You know what I see?
This week it is.
A lot of typing. No action, but a lot of typing. A lot of videos. A lot of bullshit of people in their cars.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, a lot of that. Yeah.
I don't think anything's going to come of that, and that's all I see. That's why I criticize young people for not having ambition, okay? There's no MLK among them, so to speak.
There's a lot of rants about the economy. I'll give you that. You could get on TikTok, and you could stay up 10 days straight. And
you
not
can
even...
play the last episode or the episode before that on City yeah. Limits. Trust me, there's no shortage of the rants.
But Todd, I like bringing some ideas.
Well, implementation, that's the key. Because anybody can come up with ideas, but unless you can implement it in an effective way, what's it matter? It's like making up the perfect law, but we cannot enforce it. What's it matter? It's all a hypothetical.
That Implementator 1000 machine that I traded away, I just never knew
you
how
patented
important
it.
Yeah, I never knew how important it would have been.
I told you, it was on the to-do list. Just, fucker. Anyway. You good?
I think I'm good.
I think so, too. This has been nice. I enjoyed it.
Post it up. We'll, We'll post it to Rumble again.
Do me a favor. Next episode, let's have some sex crimes. Let's get funny again. Just let's see what Florida's doing. Can we just see? Can we just Google it next week blindly? I'm kind of worried. I haven't heard much from Florida.
I saw some new sex crimes this week that were not teacher-owned student.
The fuck you say?
Yeah.
What the hell is this world coming to, guys?
All right, Bill, post credits. Sorry you couldn't be here an hour and a half ago. Two choices, healthcare or the economy.
Ah, fuck. I'm going to have to read through
this. Todd, Bill's trying to talk.
Okay. Healthcare is one of the economy, if not the biggest problem in the economy, because it sucks money from private business owners who have to self-insure. It sucks money from the federal government, and it sucks money from corporations who are paying for their employees. And my general thoughts are that nobody really regulates the healthcare industry. It operates outside of the rules of normal capitalism. It's not like buying a pair of shoes. I know if I go to buy some athletic shoes about what they'll cost, and that cost stays consistent because there are Nikes or Adidas or whatever. There's competition. Within the health world, that lack of competition is a bad thing. I don't even have a good idea what a procedure should cost. If I have to get a bone set or if I have to get a knee replacement or whatever, I wouldn't know if I was getting a good deal or a bad deal when I go to a hospital. So that means that it's not really operating within the normal rules of capitalism. Plus, you get special deals from insurance companies that, you know, oh, we got a special price for you if you got this plan or this carrier, that, you know, this hospital, that one. It's too much. There should be a few easy ways that we could help to fix this problem. One, we need to have a set price that's the same for everyone and it's listed and easy to access. Two, we need to have limits on how much lawyers can sue for malpractice. You know, malpractice loss of function versus malpractice loss of life. And there should be different levels set for that so that the pricing of the malpractice insurance could become more well regulated and therefore not passed through. Three, we should not cover every little thing with insurance, just like your homeowner's insurance doesn't cover you changing a light bulb or your auto insurance doesn't cover you changing the oil. Just a standard visit to the doctor or a sick visit to the doctor should not be covered or filed by insurance at all, because that adds cost that the doctor has to hire so many people to file stuff and the insurance company has to hire so many people.
Exactly.
To receive the claim.
You should pay for the AIDS test out of pocket, I think.
Todd can't contain himself. Like, he got to jump in. Yes.
So
I was about to say, you made the same exact points Rob did. It's almost like pressing replay.
There were a few different ones,
but no, it was pretty alarming how similar you guys are.
He said don't pay for office visits. I didn't mention that.
Well, that's small semantics. I'm talking about like the whole self. Like, no, this is Bill. It's uncanny. You guys even use some of the same vocabulary.
Okay. Here's another one. The pharmaceutical companies need to be incentivized to create new cures, and they need to be able to make a profit for doing it. However, I think that they should keep a track of their R&D costs, and I think that year one, there can be a multiplier, let's say 20 times R&D, second year, 19, 18, it scales down until, you know, you're finally getting into, you know, point percentages of a cost, so that a new drug doesn't stay expensive just endlessly. It has to scale down as time goes by.
Then where's the greed, Bill? Where do you make room for the greed?
Making the company have to search for new things. Yeah. Yes, Todd.
I want you to understand something. Where do you expect the greed to go? You expect people to start acting good and start caring about other people they don't even know and probably never will meet over money?
Well, this is like trust busting. It has to be done by the federal government, you know, so
I have to admit, I'm a little surprised you said that, but the federal government should intervene. I mean, I'm not saying I disagree. I'm just saying I'm surprised.
That sounds counterintuitive to my normal functions of the government, but busting up monopolies is a good function.
Good.
Because, all right. You know.
Yeah. No, no. I know. We've all played the game.
Yeah. Monopolies are bad for the.
You know, Monopoly really should think about throwing some advertising money our way. I feel like with all our analogies, and especially this past episode, Parker Brothers kind of Parker owes us.
Huh. Bill, well, continue yes. If you had anything else. You were just hit pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. Those were really my main points. I guess you could also have insurance companies go across state lines. That would be a good change as well.
I've heard that. Yeah, that's been something that's been talked about for the on and off again the past 10, 15 years or so. That was an early,
idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that may help. You know, just more competition is generally good for the consumer. Either you get a better product or a better price.
Yeah.
A few other things, like Robert Kennedy was already starting, like, hey, let's not have to go through your primary care doctor to see the specialist. Like,
HMOs are a little outdated.
Why are we doing it?
Yeah, HMOs are a little outdated. You know, if your ankle hurts, you know you need an ankle specialist these days.
An ankleist.
Yeah. Well, you may not want to jump straight to one, but there's still guards in place for that. The requirement of the referral, though, is a little bit much. It bogs the system down with excess.
It slows you down, and that's one more doctor visit, one more claim to that doctor that gets filed by their people and looked at by the insurance company and paid either by you or by your. I mean, that's just one more way the system added some cost.
Kind of scrambled up a little there. I got one question to ask, and it's the same thing I asked Robert. Based on the ideas and the changes that need to be made that you guys both addressed, what do you think is the best method and most practical method of implementation of these changes?
Well, the easiest one would be just to make me king, and then I could just edict it. But
edicts.
Can I be a jester?
You hate, again, to have to say the government, but there's not an entity that's large enough
that
to
should represent the will of the people. Right. It's almost like the original intent of the body, the legislative body.
Yes, the will of the people to direct their elected representatives to make these changes on behalf of the people, because
we got lives.
These are going to be really tough because, obviously, the hospitals have so much money are going to be able to influence so much legislation. And so it really let's say that I was a candidate who actually ran on this platform trying to help people. So much mud would get flung my way from endless resources that, you know.
Do you think capitalism should get out of
it? Even seem like I was a decent guy to the average moron after they got with the propaganda machine.
Yeah, you'd be a bad dude at that point. What were you going to say,
Bill McKinney hates my grandma. She needs care. You know, like, that's where that would go.
It'd be one of these things. Bill McKinney's a socialist. How? Doesn't matter. Look at the magazine. He's got, like, red stuff all over his face, and he looks mean.
Yeah.
You said something about capitalism.
Bill, do you feel like capitalism, it's kind of like you touch on a bigger problem in politics, especially getting into politics and running on issues like this. Do you feel like capitalism, it shouldn't be a pay-to-play process? Do you agree with that?
What do you mean by that?
Like, in order for you to run against an established candidate, how much money do you have to have, Bill?
Oh, well, a lot to be able to get your name and message out there.
Is that the most effective
in today's social media world, maybe less than before?
Do you think that would be the most effective way to get your message out there, to pay to play, in other words, in order, you got to pay the price in order to even to make a debate stage?
Well, I would hope that I could get on like some podcast maybe.
Bill, we're going to work on that image, but yeah. You have a better chance of debating on a political stage.
No, I mean, here's the thing. A lot of people do actually listen to established podcasts and things like that. You know, they don't necessarily get stuff directly from Fox News or MSNBC or whatnot. Yeah. But still a lot of things, a lot of content produced by those things does still get ultimately pushed Twitter or Facebook or something, you know, a link is shared. And so it still eventually gets around.
Or clipping, people like to take the
rhetoric,
the moment that really could possibly catch an audience, clip it and post it for views, and that's okay. I mean, it helps the ideas circulate.
Ultimately, it's just posting rhetoric because people would rather read the headline than they would actually read the article.
Yeah, I will admit, those clips do lack context.
Yeah, yeah. This plays into my term that...
Well, that annoys me is if you go to just like our local news website, let's say it's Channel 4, and you're trying to follow a story... I'm scrolling down, reading it, and then all of a sudden it stops, and you scroll back up. You have to like click a button to like reveal the rest of the story. That is like, we don't really even want you to see the story. Please look at the advertisements.
Todd stepped out. Hammy's pulling
the news.
Well, I think you made some great points.
Thank you.
Yeah, Todd was really like, okay. So pretend you have the best ideas. How do you expect to implement those exactly? And
that's a very good question. I mean, this is a huge thing to tackle. If it could be tackled, you would have done everybody a favor. You would have done 99.99% of the population a favor.
Yeah, fuck that other guy.
So it needs to be done, but even so, the uphill climb will be tremendous, but the more people you can get to start talking about it and thinking about it, the more open and easy it will be to get there. And I think Robert may have brought this up. As money is getting tighter and people are starting to realize it, it's going to be a lot easier for that message to get shared.
Yeah, I mentioned all that. Basically, the pressure is building, and so people are looking for the idea, and if the ideas are out there, maybe one of them becomes popular because it does make sense.
Right.
And if we can get a collection of the best ideas, we might actually, you know, have a way to put a team together, let's say. I mean, sports analogy, but I mean, if we have a collection of enough good ideas, maybe we could make a go at a fix. So.
Well, yes. I would love that. Look, I do know that committed people can at least affect local government and policy. I mean, from now experience. So it is possible. Now, the bigger area you get, obviously, the tougher and the more people that are required. I haven't tried to tackle anything on the state level.
Yeah, well, going too far down that trail, that is interesting you brought that up. I've thought of there could be a small system that starts small that operates outside of the big healthcare system and by example proves that a different model could work, you know, by example on a small scale, whether it's an entire state that does it or maybe just a county or whatever, or just a singular hospital could say, hey, here's our model. Guess what? It works. That's one way to implement it, by example.
Yeah, that's very true.
Start small instead of tackling the whole giant at once. I mean,
does your cynicism react to that at all? Do you think that's actually
achievable? Well, my experience does, because like as we started making some strides in Pickens County on limiting development, suddenly in Anderson and Oconee, they were starting to put up moratoriums and things like that as well, because you know, they were trying to get their own regulations and rules in place. So, I mean, yeah, if someone sees that it's having success somewhere, then that is a possibility.
Do you think people could get past their pride and their political bigotry with one another to actually work together?
That goes back to the pressure that's building. Yeah, they're caught within the echo chambers of their individual political affiliation, but there's becoming a little bit of extra motivation to escape that, because you got to find the.
And by the way, I'm going to keep plugging this term until it catches on. Political bigotry.
It is something that you would hope could get across political lines. There's always going to be another side that's playing to their own interest, but if you're trying to play to the good of the people, I think that you got better chances. So the way I'm going to first get the headlines to get elected, so when I'm senator, it's going to be proposing that when we change the time back, when we spring forward an hour, we do it on a Friday at 4 p.m., boom, 5 p.m., we've all got the weekend. And
yeah,
see,
yeah, but you just increased rush hour, you socialist.
No, that cuts across party lines. Every
he made rush hour 2 hours long instead of one. Bill's for more cars on roads.
Bill wants your grandma to die.
Hey! No, I got a perfect political attack ad. Bill, it's appropriate name because that's all he does is charge you.
Hold on, one at a time.
I know.
One at a time. Bill? Okay, Bill doesn't want to. Okay, Todd?
I was like to say a good political ad would, attack ad would be Bill. Fits his name because he's always charging you.
Yeah, that cuts about as deep as you possibly could, right there. Yeah.
I'm sorry to do that, Bill.
Bill McKinney, I had always called to my doctor and now he's having to close.
Oh, he's
Bill
mocking
McKinney hates the elderly. You know.
Oh, this is like age discrimination, Bill. Okay, God, you're age inappropriate to be doing that impression.
Pregnant mother, Bill McKinney hates babies. I'm going to hate the elderly and babies now.
Bill McKinney, pro big stomachs. Don't ask.
But before you get yourself into any trouble, I'm just going to go ahead and wrap it up there.
I'm going to treat you like a prom date here and just wrap it up.
And thanks for calling in.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah,
all right, later.
See you, Billion.
Bye.